he meets on the third Sunday of Epiphany, and also during the octave of prayer for Christian unity. The service is the order of morning prayer, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God, who said, "Out of darkness light shall shine," has caused his light to shine in our hearts, the light which is knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Beloved in Christ, we are united today with fellow believers throughout the world as we gather to pray for the visible unity of the Church. Our theme is inspired by the visit of the Magi to the newborn King, as described in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We observe his star in the east and have come to worship him. So let us fix our eyes on the star that is seen in the east and allow it to lead us through. Let us come into God's presence in solidarity with all who are sick, suffering, marginalized, displaced, and oppressed, knowing that our darkness can be dispelled by God's light. And we pray today for the unity of the Church, and that we all may journey together to meet Jesus, the Savior, the light of the world. But firstly, we confess our sins to receive God's forgiveness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our minds shall proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is to be praised.
On page 118, the traditional form of the Canticle of the Nike, verses 1 to 7.
Thank you.
749. The psalm appointed for this morning is number 133. We shall say the psalm by alternate half verses. Psalm 133 on page 749. Behold how good and pleasant it is. It is like the precious oil upon the head, even on Aaron's beards. It is like the dew of Hermon, for there the Lord has promised his blessing,
even life forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy of the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as the day of Midian. The canticle after which the young people may withdraw for Sunday school, on page 130, Urbs Fortitudinis.
Thank you.
The New Testament reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. On page 120, the traditional form of the canticle Jubilate.
Amen.
temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the king,
and grant your brother the wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness,
and let your servants rush with joy.
O Lord, save your people,
and bless those who hear the chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord,
and let your glory be over all the earth.
Amen. May clean our hearts within us,
and renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We join in the first and second collects of morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and the lover of God, Lord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us from all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord,
our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running under this danger, and in all things guide us to do and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In 518, bind us together.
Amen.
Let us pray. With faith and confidence, we come in prayer before God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We recall how the Magi came from the East to pay homage and offer special gifts from their cultures and countries. So we pray today for all Christian communities around the world in their diversity of worship and tradition. Lord, we ask you to preserve these treasures, particularly in areas of the world where the presence and survival of the church is threatened by violence and oppression. Lord, in your mercy. The early years of the Lord's life were marked by violence and massacres at the order of the despot Herod. We pray for children living in places in the world where violence continues and where its results are tangible. Strengthen, O Lord, the bonds of unity and mutual love among our churches, and help us to cooperate and witness to your holy name. Inspire us to work without ceasing in order to defend the oppressed and include the marginalized. Encourage us to stand together in the face of tyranny and oppressive regimes as we seek your kingdom among us. Lord, in your mercy. After the visit of the Magi, the Holy Family experienced migration through the wilderness and became refugees in the land of Egypt. We pray for all the refugees and uprooted people in this world, especially from Ukraine. Equip us, Lord, to show hospitality to those driven from their homes, and grant us the spirit of welcome to those looking for a safe haven. Lord, in your mercy. The birth of Jesus was good news for all gathering people from different nations and religions in worship of the Holy Child. We pray for our efforts to seek harmony and dialogue with other religions. Lord, give us humility and patience to walk with others with respect on their journey. Lord, in your mercy. The Magi returned to their home by a different way. We pray for our churches in this changing world. Lord, help us to find new and creative ways to follow you and to witness to you so that the world may believe. Lord, in your mercy. When the Magi saw the Holy Child, they rejoiced with great joy. Heavenly Father, fix our eyes on him so that we do not lose our way. Unite us in the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, in your mercy. We join in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 303, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing.
Thank you. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is not just one, but a series of challenges to each of us during this Epiphany season. As the star revealed the baby Jesus to the Magi, our collect for that day asked us, as we ask God to do likewise, lead us who know you now by faith. Not simply a commemoration of the visits of the Magi, the Epiphany calls us to follow Jesus without physical signs, but through faith. The same is true with the commemoration of Jesus' baptism some weeks ago. This is more than remembering Jesus' own baptism. Rather, it is a reminder of the covenant that each of us made in our baptisms. Most of us, of course, were baptized as infants, so we will have no recollection of that covenant. But as the collect for that day says, let us boldly confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is a reminder of the ministry to which we are called through baptism. And the challenge continues this week, as our collect calls upon us to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and to proclaim the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole church may receive the glory of his marvelous works. But the celebration of the Epiphany season is not the only major event on this month's Christian calendar. We also celebrate the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity during January. This Week of Prayer begins with the Confession of St. Peter, normally celebrated on January the 18th, and concludes on the conversion of St. Paul, normally celebrated on January the 25th. This is a time when many Christians hold joint worship celebrations and pray for the end of the divisions in Christ's body. Christian unity, however, no longer seeks complete mergers of the churches. Each of the varied expressions of Christianity has its own particular gifts to bring, which the age of proposals for mergers often overlooked. The Episcopal Church wholeheartedly supports this sharing of gifts in the current movement for Christian unity. In fact, the Epiphany season is a very appropriate time to be praying for Christian unity. The emphasis on Jesus' baptism and our own call to ministry through our baptisms is particularly relevant. One of the major advances in theological discussion among Christians has been the recognition of how baptism has united us to Christ. The sacrament of baptism has long been recognized between the main Christian denominations. The emphasis on our call to ministry and mission, to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to spread the good news, is also very much an element of our attempts at Christian unity and cooperation. Along with a realization that a sharing of gifts is important, equally important has been the realization that the denominations are united in our call to proclaim the gospel and to restore all people to unity with one another and with Christ. Working together in mission and witness is at the forefront and is the driving factor of our Episcopal Church's involvement in Christian unity. Yet, the movement for Christian unity has not been without its own fits and spurts in recent years. Indeed, many have wondered if there is any future in Christian unity, given the serious divisions between churches and within denominations themselves. Our own church certainly has as much of a call to foster internal unity as well as unity with other Christians. As our readings note today, as unfortunate as the current situation of the Church of Christ is, rent by its divisions, this is nothing new. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we are also reading from Paul's letter to the Christian community in Corinth. The occasion for Paul's writing is of the divisions that he has heard about in that community. There are a number of these divisions which concern matters such as what one should eat, whether to take other Christians to secular courts, and what exactly the resurrection will look like. And this is only a small sample of the issues facing that community. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is relevant to us in this search for Christian unity. As soon as he hears of the divisions in the community, he is quick to remind them of something that is central to both this Epiphany season and for Christian unity. Baptism. In the very first chapter, he asked them, "Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Was Paul crucified for you?" The answer is, of course, a resounding no. We are all baptized into Christ, and Christ died for us all, regardless of our divisions. St. Paul reminds the Christian community of their interconnectedness in today's New Testament reading. He reminds us that the church is a body. Just as all the members differ individually, they are but one body. During this week of prayer for Christian unity, we cannot help but be reminded that all of the members of Christ's body, each with their own goal, purpose and gift, are nonetheless members of one body. Whether Episcopalian, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Methodist, Presbyterian, or others who may differ from us. Furthermore, all these members of this one body need one another. There is not just diversity for diversity's sake. Diversity is essential for the body to function properly. Paul is eloquent and clear on this point. It is the whole body that is needed to function properly. If the whole body were an eye, how could we hear? If the whole body is hearing, then how would we be able to smell? Not only do we need one another, it is impossible to say that we do not need one another, though all too often in this fallen world, we have done, or rather we have tried to do, precisely that. Within our Episcopalian Church, within all the members of the one body of Christ, Within the Corinthian community, 2,000 years ago, Paul's words ring true. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together in it. Let us keep in mind God's call to us this Epiphany season. Let us rejoice in God's manifestation to the world of Jesus Christ. Likewise, let us remember that we are all called to minister in Jesus' name through our own baptisms as we recall his baptism. But let us also remember that we are each members of one body through baptism as we pray fervently at this time for the unity of Christ's Church. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as is most justly due all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn 661, we omit verses 5 and 6. Through the night of doubt and sorrow.
Thank you.
God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace this day and always.
On Wednesday and Saturday evening this week, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany and World Leprosy Day. Morning prayer and the litany at 10 o'clock. And the loose collection next Sunday and on the following Sunday will be in favour of the leprosy mission. The recessional hymn, 501, Christ is the World's True Light.